Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. Today is absolutely a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you. We want to encourage you to have a perspective that comes from God, that all things work together for your good. No matter where you are in this hour, this moment, this season of your life, God is engineering destiny on your behalf. Jeremiah 29:11 declares to us that I know the thoughts that I have concerning you, to bless you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and an expected end. This is God's thoughts. This is the sum of God's thoughts concerning you and your family. We want to welcome you if you come and visited us for the very first time. I'm Dr. Daniel Hopp, your host of the Voice of Destiny Show. We have a vision here to empower you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. And with this in mind, we open up our conversation today with our very special guest, Pastor Polly Sanders Peterson, the visionary of a great ministry that's bringing love to God's people. And I want to welcome you, Polly, to the Voice of Destiny Show once again. How are you doing?
I'm well this morning. Thank you, Dr. Hopps. And you?
I'm doing well. You know, we've been having a conversation about the phenomenal family, inspiring families to pack up their bags and leave that place called mediocrity to a place that is north of average. And God has caused many of our families to take on different shapes. To honor his original intent for our life. But we all have a starting point where God causes the things in our lives to help shape us and inform us. And many times families, without realizing, they are a system that God's created to establish identities in us. And many families do very well at it. Some of us struggle at it, and some of us are exceptional at it. But all of us have a story of our family of origin. And I wanted to ask you if you would inspire our listeners by sharing with them your family story and how God has brought you along in your life through the family that he raised you up and the family that he's given you.
Thank you, Dr. Hopps. As Dr. Hopps says, my name is Polly Sanders Peterson, and I grew up in a large family, Dr. Hopps. I grew up in a family of 12, and I grew up being number 9 in that family. And at the time, Dr. Hopps, that I came along, I grew up with a lot of responsibility. My father was 65 when I was born, and then my mother was only when I was born. But my mother had severe mental issues and severe epilepsy. So it caused me to grow up in a family where I had no relationships with my mother, only as a caretaker. And then with my father being 65 when I was born, so as far back as when I was can remember when I was 8 or 10, I had all of the responsibility as the caregiver. But never personally knew love as a young girl. And so consequently, we had a hard-working family. My father worked hard. He was a provider. He provided the very best that he could for 12. That's what I want the listeners to know. But I never had the nurturing that a child needed. And so I grew up seeking that all my life. I grew up seeking it. I became separated in my family when I was about 13, Dr. Hopps. I was born in Arkansas, and my father died, and my mother was put in a mental institution, and my sister in Denver sent for me and came and brought me to Denver. That caused me to have separation anxiety, Dr. Hopps, because I was the caregiver, and so that piece was taken from me. And consequently, I grew up really seeking love, seeking it in my family because all of my family had, because the only thing we knew was work. Our identity was in working and in providing. So all of my other brothers and sisters, they always worked hard and provided. But we never knew love, not really love. So consequently, all of us grew up really seeking love. We might not have known that, but as I look back, see my family and see what God has done, we really were seeking love. We were seeking God.
Wow. Well, I think it's interesting because the most dynamic aspect of your personality from knowing you from years is that you are such a loving person, and you are a huge caretaker of everyone that comes into your atmosphere. And so I got to tell you that that's an incredible story, you know, and many families that are listening today are facing similar realities that their family's circumstances, sickness in their family has shaped their family's culture and identity and also other things, you know, like you were saying, the good things, that it's good to be a good worker, to be able to serve well. And so you have these elements of the positive and the negative that have mingled together that created the identity or the culture of your family. What would you say to families that individuals that are in the same situation as you were with grasping with their family reality? You know, they have something that's good and something that's negative that's shaping their family, but how is it that you were able to move from the scarring of that situation to where you are today?
One of the things I wanted to share with you, Dr. Hopps, is that because I sought love, of course I would choose wrong relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I always chose in my life relationships where people rejected me. So consequently, even in my family, I had a severe issue of seeking acceptance and love.
Mm-hmm.
So when
mm-hmm.
I want the listeners to know, even though I was a caregiver and I would care for my family, but because I suffered from the spirit of rejection, because that's what happens when you don't know that you love, because you
mm-hmm.
seek acceptance. So all my life, because I sought love and acceptance, I always sought the wrong relationships. And it wasn't until I was around 36 years of age. Now, remember, Dr. Hopps, I was a worker and I was a caregiver. So I performed very well. My performance was excellent. In my workplace,
mm-hmm.
I performed excellent. I achieved very highly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the heart where I was unfulfilled. It was in my family where I was unfulfilled. I kept picking and choosing the wrong men, and I kept feeling like I never measured up in my family. So when I would go to family reunions or meet for Sunday dinners, I always felt like I never really belonged because of that rejection and that wrong identity. It wasn't until I was 36 years of age that God began to reveal himself into my heart. And then when I was 43, God completely brought me to a place of, and he gave me a word, and he told me, he says, Polly, life doesn't have to be so hard for you, but you have to give your life completely to me. So once he told me that, Dr. Hopps, that's when things began to change. That's when I really began to seek him and really began to find out that this God that I knew existed, but I never believed that he loved me. He didn't seem like he loved me, because I thought, God, if you love me, why would things have to be so hard for me, God, when I'm a good person? Why?
Wow.
Why would
wow.
you have my family? So consequently, Dr. Hopps, I had carried that for 43 years in my heart, and then God began to reveal to me that he is love and that he is good. And he put his love in me, and that's when things began to change. And that's when I began to learn, Dr. Hopps, who I am in him. And
wow.
I also began to learn my purpose besides the caretaker. What was my purpose in my family besides caring for them in the physical and in the material way? Then I began to learn it was a greater place that God had given me, because he put himself into me, his spirit, and his love began to reach out and share that in a greater way. I no longer felt rejected or abandoned when I would go to my family. And I began to see I chose the wrong people in my life as far as men. The men were good. It wasn't their fault. It was me. I chose them.
Wow. Well, can we pick that up after we come back to, after the Sesame break, to talk about the importance of you establishing kingdom identity in yourself in order to bring the effect or balance to your family life. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm talking with Pastor Polly Sanders Peterson, the author of Power of Perseverance, a leader of a great ministry of love that God has raised up, which is the Covenant House of Love Ministries. If you want to get in contact with Pastor Polly, just visit covenanthouseoflove.com to get all the information about this great resource that God has given the body of Christ. And Polly, when we had left from the last segment, you were talking and sharing with us that one of the great struggles that came out of your family's circumstances was not having a whole or healthy self-mindset about yourself, and it attracted you to seeking love in all the wrong places and all the wrong men. And I think you brought a very important piece of responsibility message when you talked about it wasn't so much something that was wrong with the men, it was something wrong with you, something broken in you that had expectations that weren't going to be realized or made you sacrifice or give yourself in those relationships in a way that didn't lead to God's love. What was the turning point for you? Really, what turned you in your mindset and your perception of yourself that allowed you to be the loving person that you are today?
Well, God began to reveal himself in his word to me. So he did that by, he knew I wasn't a great reader, Dr. Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
So God put it in my heart to go to Bible college because he knew I would. Some people can just sit down and read the word, and like my husband, he just loves reading the word and he can just do it. But for me, God had to put me into a system. So he put me into Bible college. And I'm going to use the word force, for lack of a better word. He kind of forced me to learn about him. Because when I made that commitment and paid the money to go to college, I had to learn about him. So as I began to learn about him and learn who he was, that's where I found out that God is love. Like he says in 1 John 4:16 to me, he said, "Polly, my desire for you is that you would come to know me intimately and know my love and experience it, Polly. Not only read about it, Polly, not only hear people preach about it and talk about it, but for you personally to come to know my love intimately." So God began to reveal himself intimately to me through his written word and began to speak into my heart. So as I grew with him over the years, I was 7 years, Dr. Hobbs, into a 2-year Bible college.
So, 7 years in a 2-year Bible college. That was persistent.
Yes, sir. So I began, even though it was a struggle for me to get through there, and God just really immersed his spirit into me and really revealed himself to me in a way that I know that I know. And I know that he has that for every listener today. That, like I said in 1 John 4:16, his desire is that every one of his daughters and sons would know him intimately and know his great love. Yeah. So he's longing. He has his arms open and his heart open and his spirit open to receive us. And so he just poured out his truth into me. So all those lies and deceptions that I had about him, where I felt like he was not a good God because he didn't perform the way I thought he should perform. He didn't act the way I thought he should act. And he didn't do the way I thought he should do. I had believed in my mind and thought in my heart that he was not a good God. Because I used to say to him, "If you're a good God, why did you allow my father to leave a family of 12 when I was like 10 or 12 years old? I said, if he was a good God, why don't you heal my mother? If you're a good God, Lord, why don't you heal my marriage?" So I blamed him, number one. I didn't see him as good. So he completely changed that by revealing his truth into my mind and into my heart. And so the most important thing is he put it into my heart who he is. He put the truth that he is a loving God. And so that's where things began to change for me, Dr. Hobbs.
And a lot of times, Polly, what happens is that we don't realize these things that we believe as deceptions because they're stories that we've been telling ourselves for years. About who we are, about who God is, and about the fairness and the unfairness of our circumstances. There's stories that we enjoy to tell, like juicy gossip, and we don't realize that it's those stories that are tying us to the past and keeping us from our future. You know, the Bible tells us that though our beginnings be small, our latter rain will bring increase if we are willing to believe God's report And God's report is interesting, too, because it comes to us like a story. It's something we're going to have to choose to believe. We either believe the adversary's story or we believe God's story. Who report will we believe in the affairs of our family life? Because really, what we see right now are just simply the facts. It's not necessarily the truth. You see, truth, God will send and liberate us, and we've got to choose the story that lines up with truth, not with facts.
Exactly. That is so true. Because it is a fact, my father died when I was 12. It is a fact that my mother had mental illness and was put in a mental institution. But it's the truth that God always loved me and cared for me, and he always loved my father and my mother. Even though circumstances and the evil one will allow things to happen to us, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care, because he gives us a choice. Yeah. And then there are circumstances. Those people ask me all the time, Pastor Polly, well, if God was so good and so loving, why didn't he heal your marriage? Why didn't he heal your mother in the mental institution? I said, some things we don't know. But when you ask God to show you, so God, if you're out there and you're really wondering why, just ask God why. And if God doesn't tell you why, he'll give you his spirit of shalom. And when he gives you your shalom, your peace, his peace, then you don't need an answer. Because I found out that spirit of peace of God just settles it. It just gives you such a rest and a contentment that you know God is who he says he is, and you know that he's love, and you know that he's merciful.
Yeah. Well, it's really important that we do recognize that God does love us, and that he does have a story for us, and there is an integrity between the story that we're having, because God looks at everything from an eternal perspective. You know, he knows the end from the beginning. And what God has to do, a couple of things, unlike the devil is an outlaw. God is a lawgiver. So he has to work within the boundaries of the law that he has. God has to respect our will, our choices, and our situations that we all choose. We have choice in all these dynamics, how we'll respond to what's going on. This is why Jesus said forgive 70 times 7, because we have the power of choice in that situation. And when we begin to recognize the sovereignty of God's grace in our life, that he really will take, in spite of our choices, a pathway that he will lead us, that will lead us to a place that is north of average, if we're willing, no matter where our families, we're willing to believe his story, if we're willing to believe his report. We're going to take a destiny break right here with Pastor Polly. We're going to come back, and I want us to finish talking about what is the best flight plan. You know, what is it that we will suggest to families that, given where your circumstances are right now, what advice and strategies can we give them to move forward, to move to that place that God has ordained for them? We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. My guest today is Pastor Polly Sanders Peterson, author of Power of Perseverance, who wrote an incredible book on perseverance and the need for it. Because, you know, our families have their origin of beginning, but it can be a journey from the place that you start to the place that you land up, and that the story that happens in between is not the story that happens at the end. We know this from the story of Jacob, that Jacob had a son named Joseph that he had loved so much, but yet God saw fit to allow him to be removed from their family circumstances, and it brought a lot of grief to Jacob. But Joseph, his son, had to be sent to Egypt for the perseverance of the family. A lot of things happen in our family that the enemy meant for evil, but God will allow it because in the bigger picture, it will work together for the good. So we all must come into a bright perspective of what it is that God wants us to be, do, and have, and what God says about us. And one of the elements to your flight plans that you need to develop is the ability to practice perseverance. Polly, can you tell us a little bit about your book, The Power of Perseverance, and how families can draw from your great story that God has given you, a great testimony, to practice perseverance, to finish the journey of getting to a place that is north of average?
Thank you, Dr. Hobbs. Yeah, God had put in my heart about 3 years ago to write a book on perseverance, and I had forgotten about it. I stuck it in my Bible, and I just went along my way. And then one day I was on a phone conversation with the editor who edits my book. Her name is Libette. I just want to give God glory for Libette because we wouldn't even have this book without her. But one day we were just talking as two women, and she says, "Polly, gosh, when I hear your story," she says, "God has really enabled you to persevere through all of the struggles and the trials and the hardships and the discouragements and the depressions and the despair of wanting to give up my life and wanting to commit suicide at one point in my life." And I say, "Gosh, Libette, that's the name of my next book, Power of Perseverance." So, Dr. Hobbs, that's how Power of Perseverance came about. Wow. That as we were just talking about how I really experienced God, when I look back in my life, I can really see how God, even though I had severe trials and severe hardships and losses, many, many losses, many, many disappointments and discouragements and severe times of depression and several times in my life of despair where the enemy came and said to me, "Why should you keep trying, Polly? Why? Things don't change for you, Polly. Why? Why should you keep trying?" I would take ten steps forward and nine steps back, and I would get up with the Lord. And so that's how the Lord brought me, saying, "Polly, I want you to write a book on perseverance, on how you see me work in your life and how you see me hold your hand and heal your heart from those disappointments, discouragements." So I wrote Power of Perseverance for people that were like me, that keep pressing forward and keep falling back, keep pressing forward and keep falling back. So Power of Perseverance is written for people to show them how they can, how God is there for you, how he's there to hold your hand and fill your heart and give you the strength and give you the power and reveal his love to you. He doesn't promise us that we're not going to have disappointments. He didn't promise me I'm not going to be discouraged or I'm not going to have hardships. No. But he did say to me, "I am your Abba Father. I am the great I am that I am. And I will always be with you, Polly, and I will never leave you or forsake you, never, no matter what happens to you. Girl, you grab a hold to me like you never grabbed a hold to me before, and you hold on. You hold on when the enemy comes in like a flood, when there's great disaster that hits you or losses hit you. You grab on to me, and I'm the one that will take you through." So Power of Perseverance is written so that people will be able to know God's love, number one, and be able to develop a relationship with him, number two. And the third thing I put in there for people is how to learn to surrender. And I wanted to talk to the audience this morning, Dr. Hobbs, about the power of surrendering. Because remember, Dr. Hobbs, in my early part of my life, I blamed God. I blamed him because I didn't see him working for me or performing for me or doing the things the way I thought he should do. So I had to come to a place of repentance when I began to see that God was love and that he was a good papa, that he's a good father, that he's a good God, that he is the great I am I am. And he began to show me, Dr. Hobbs, that he was all sovereign. And I didn't even know what that word meant. I had to look it up. He says to me, "Polly, I am all sovereign." And so when I looked that word up and God showed me, he says to me, "Polly, nothing ever was and nothing ever will be greater than I am that I am." And so he put that in my heart and he pierced that in my heart. So when I come up against obstacles or I come up against a great tragedy or a loss, I know with no question or doubt that God is love, that he's good, and that he will take me through. And I know he'll take the audience through too, Dr. Hobbs.
Well, this is very important stuff that we need to keep in mind, because one of the things that Jesus did promise us that in this world you will have tribulations, but to be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And with this kingdom perspective that you've delivered to us, I think many of us as families can begin to right-size our circumstances. A lot of times we think our family circumstance is so humongous, but in the light of God's word, his promises to us, we need to right-size that circumstances and know that it's smaller than God, that it's not bigger than God, and that God is going to take whatever we're going through and work it together for our good. And also, he's going to give us victory. He's going to also require the enemy to encompass us sevenfold what he's done against us, because the scripture clearly says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And so we want to pack up our mediocrity, move away from our mediocre situations, and move in the direction of living our lives north of average, so that we can live the full potential that God has given each of us in our family life. Can you talk to us, Polly, about the importance of having vision, inspiration, a sense of direction for your family, and how do we acquire that so that our families can experience the fruit of perseverance?
Amen, amen. I think the most important thing I learned, Dr. Hobbs, in my family, and one of my friends that's a pastor told me this not too long ago, about 8 years ago, maybe 10. She was at one of my family dinner parties, and I was just in the process of being healed then from acceptance, from totally seeking acceptance. And she says to me when we left the home, she says, Polly, you do not know your spiritual place in your family.
Wow.
I was like, well, what does she mean, God? Why would she say that to me, God? What is she saying? So I began to ask, seek, and knock, according to Matthew 7, 7, and 8. I said, God, I said, I don't understand what pastor is trying to tell me, God. What does she mean, I don't know my place in my family spiritually? So as I began to seek God, and I asked God, I said, God, reveal to me, why did you place me in this family? And why did you call me to be a pastor? I'm the first female pastor in the family out of 12, and out of generations, I'm the second pastor in the family. My great-great-grandfather was a pastor. So I said, God, why would you cause me to be a pastor in this family? Why? And so God began to show me that he placed his love in me, not only to heal me, but to heal my family. Because remember, my family worked hard, but remember, we didn't know love. We didn't know God. We didn't really know his love. We would go to church. We would hear about it. But we did not have the intimacy of a relationship with God. So God began to show me, Polly, that I not only place my love in for you, but for you to be able to draw your family to me. So I began to pray about that. And as God began to heal me, and that healing process, Dr. Hobbs, was hard on me. Because there was a time when he had to break soul ties in my family. And I said, God, and a soul tie is where there's an ungodly stronghold there. And so because I always sought approval, Dr. Hobbs, and acceptance, I never could really share and move in my family the way God wanted me to until he began to bring complete healing in me and broke some ungodly soul ties and some wrong thinking over my mind. He began to show me, Dr. Hobbs, I was.
Well, families really need to understand the power of how a soul tie can shape their family structure, directions, and reality. And it's such an important topic. Polly, can you return for another show so we can pick it up? Because we've come to the end of our hour. It's been really incredible substance that we've been talking about, giving families really solid flight plans to get